Good morning. Good Monday. Hello, everyone. George Watkins here. As we kick off the week with another time together, diving in to the depths of the joy of the Lord. Wow. Ever seen one of those small kids, like my grandkids, go to the place where they have that container of balls, and they jump into that pit full of balls? The giggles and joy that comes out of those little characters is amazing and fun to listen to. I feel like that today. I just want to jump into to the depths of God's love. And when we do, we get a backload of revelation, a backload of revelation. Sometimes we talk to people about travel, and some people have been to the library and have picked up a book on places and things in places to travel, and they read those books, and they can talk to you about certain capitals, geographics. They can tell you how many people live in the city of that nation, what kind of food is, popular. But if you've been there, then you can smell the atmosphere and feel the temperature. And when you converse about that city or place, you have had firsthand experience. I can feel the heat coming, blasting your face when you step off in the Philippines or Colombia. I can feel the high altitude of Bogota, 9,000 feet, and can't hardly walk up, the hill very fast because the air is so thin. Now, you'll never get those sensations reading in a book. So it is with book knowledge of the scriptures, book knowledge of God. Bible reading is important, but if that's your limit and you've never had a relational journey with him where you spend time in his presence and begin to feel the warmth of his embrace and know the tender love that comes out of his heart for you, then book reading is not going to make it for advancing you in the Lord. Okay, now, I'm not talking about that today so much as I am asking you a question: how much is enough? Before we do, let me remind you that what you do, like subscribe and share and all those wonderful things, really, really do help us in our ministry. Thank you for that. And if you haven't done it, go ahead and do it today. Just subscribe on YouTube and like us on Facebook. That helps us go out just a little bit further and touch a few more people. Amen. How much is enough? Well, they tell me that if you're a business person and investing and building and creating wealth, that there seems to be no limit to what you want to get, unless you've got a content spirit and a godly attitude toward life. But greed can take over after a while. Well, just one more deal, just one more, complex, just one more contract. And in the meantime, because of all this aggressive lifestyle, you've probably given up some things that are more important in the long run, like your children, relationship with your family. It's a sad story that many of the great successful people in entertainment and in business have sacrificed a couple of families along the way. And you notice, if you're previewing or reviewing their lives, you'll find that in the early days, some of the entertainers had a divorce or two. But as they got older, they found someone and stayed 25 or 30 years with them because they discovered that there's something more important than just working. Well, how much is enough? Christians, you and I, the scriptures tell us that he has given us all things rich to enjoy. So we come to God and we say, gimme, gimme, gimme. Now, I realize you don't do that because you've already learned your lesson, but it's for those other people that we're talking about. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Now we have a list. Now, as especially younger Christians and new to the faith may have a list. This is what I need today, Lord. I need gas in the car, and I need rent, and I need health, and I need, you know, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife. I need something, Lord. And so we come with our list, and our prayer turns into just a request session. Now, the scriptures tell us that Elias was a man of like passions. In other words, the same type of temperament you and I have. And yet he prayed, and he was a passionate prayer person. And when he prayed, the hand of God moved and things happened. How does that happen? What's the development of that? Look at Enoch. Enoch in the Old Testament and referred to in the New Testament a couple of times. He walked with God and he was not because God took him. Well, he had a relationship so intense and so close to God that one day God walked back home and Enoch just followed him in, didn't die. He just went through the veil as a living, breathing person. How does that happen? Well, I'm convinced that if you'll get close to the Father through prayer. Now, prayer needs to have, first of all, not a request system. I realize if we're teaching on prayer, we have the times we come and we ask God for things, or we praise him, or we meditate. There's several sessions. I'm just focusing in on relationship today. Relationship. I made a note in our opening statement down below that most of the big deals in business and entertainment or any type of commerce is usually made with people that they know, and they become acquainted with those people on the golf course or at the party, or maybe a neighbor that they know. Harrison Ford is a pretty well-known actor. Of course, he did the Star Wars when he was a young actor starting out. You know how he got that job? He went to Hollywood, tried to break in, and, you know, did all the things that you need to do, but he was starving to death, so he began to become a carpenter, and he built things, cabinets and so forth. Well, he got a job at building some cabinets in one of the big producers' house that was going to produce this great smash of a series of movies called Star Wars. And because he was in the house working, they bonded, began to interchange, and he got that starring role as Han Solo, and the rest is history. Now, that is repeated over and over again. I like the snapshot of David at the cave of Adullam in Chronicles. And he's at the cave, all of his 400 men are there with him. And they're on the run, they're hiding out from Saul. Saul's tried to kill him a bunch of times. And over the hill comes a gang of guys from Saul's camp. Now, this is a little suspicious, you know, is there some moles coming in, some traitors that are going to, you know, sell me out? And so David meets them at the gate, at the entrance to the cave, and says, look, if you've come to do me dirty, hit the road, Jack. Just keep on going. I'm not the guy you want. But if you've come and your heart can be knitted with my heart knitted with your heart, then, then you're welcome. And the Spirit of God came on Amasai, one of the leaders, and says, "Thine we are, David." He committed himself. He made a covenant with David. And because of that bonding and that submission to David, I'm just illustrating this as a submission to God would be, then David said, David made captains out of the people, out of those that had come in. Okay. Promotion comes when you spend time with God, not in just a request session, but in a relational fellowship where you come and spend time in his presence. The Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. That's a mouthful. I can almost chew on that when I say it because it's so tasty. In the presence of the Lord. So this prayer then is not just coming to God, this is what I need, and then I've got to go to work, Lord. But finding time, making time, I should say, to have a relationship that in that quiet time, that time where you're just hanging out in his presence, he begins to download wisdom. He gives you insight. He begins to tell you how to advance in your life. It's called infused knowledge, where it just comes. You don't know. It doesn't come through the brain so much as it just whelms up within you. Well, the brain has to be active, obviously. You think and you remember, you know, you hear things. But prayer, then, is not request. It's relational. It's relationships. Spending time in the presence of the Father. Amen? Now, some of you men, especially, would never have gotten married if you dealt with that girlfriend, that girl you were chasing, if you dealt with her like you deal with God. Occasionally, you show up occasionally. You might drop by. Occasionally, you might honk the horn while you're going by, leave a note. That would not have worked. I'm reminded of the story of the young man who is, you know, in love with a girl. He says, I love you. He sends a note, you know, a letter. I love you so much. I'd climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest sea. Fight the beast, you know. I would do anything. And oh, by the way, if it's not raining Saturday, I'll be over. Little rain kept him away. So today I'm gathering you up in my embrace right now, and just letting you feel the love of God and the fellowship of the brethren. Now remember this. This is an interesting thought. Even though you feel like you're alone with God, you're really in a company of believers that are fellowshipping the Lord. So in reality, we do this together. You can pray, you can be in fellowship, you can be in a time of meditation. 500 miles away from me, but when I step into the presence of the Lord, I'm connected with you. And in that prayer, God can speak to me about you because we're in the same chamber. We're in the same altitude. That's flying, but attitude, same presence. Think about that. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Amen. I stepped into the presence of the Lord some months ago, maybe a couple years ago now. And I was fellowshipping the Lord in the throne room, like Zechariah did in the first three chapters. If you read that, you get a good picture of it. And as I'm fellowshipping the Lord, you know, receiving, talking, bringing some contracts, you know, Lord, I'm making this contract with you. I heard some commotion behind me, and I looked around, and in came a preacher that I know, and he had a group of people with him and a bunch of angels, and they made a commotion. It sounded like a parade coming. I thought that I got so blessed when I came back out of my session. I said, wow, wasn't that something? All right, well, enough for Monday. We're going to blast out into the week every morning. Tell somebody about our little time together and pray for us. I know you do, but I just thank you for your prayers. Tell the Lord you're on, you know, you're lifting my hands as we go forward. All right. Don't forget, if God's nudging you to send us a gift right down there and pay in PayPal or the address, you can make that happen. I'm working on some development of our technology as best my expertise can do and time allows. So thank you for your prayers in that. We've been on here almost 4 years, about 1,200, something like that. And I believe this is just foundational. God's got something in the next season or the next, you know, the next development that's happening. There's a revelation coming in my own spirit that I want to continue to share. There's some breakthroughs or some new realms or some new doors that God's opening up for us all. I believe we're in a breakout, a breakthrough, a revolution of spiritual significance. So let's stay tuned and stay in his presence. Amen. Well, until tomorrow morning, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may your spirit go ahead of you and affect and impress and touch people long before you get into the room. See you tomorrow.